The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's terrific, tremendous, too much fun radio. Time to think with Thanksgiving. In our thoughts Tuesday, as we collectively unify in the fatherhood of God, in the blood relationship of Jesus Christ, and in the fountain of the Holy Spirit. First up, take two do nots, two I ams, and two I wills. Mix them together, and what do you get? Isaiah 41:10, baked in love. Next, today you will hear about taking a stand. But in Jesus, not in a political position, it takes more courage to take a stand being a Bible believer, and Bible baloney barristers should be ignored. And finally, do you have a rich uncle? Are you a rich uncle or an aunt? Nobody benefits until somebody dies regarding a will. It's good for you and me that somebody died.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can get to us two different ways. Actually, three different ways. Three. Instead of two, you can email David at hemustincrease.org. I should tell you that on a regular basis. You can email us, David at hemustincrease.org. You can call us. Now, that's the phone where you dial the numbers and you actually talk to a person, 972-445-0770. You can also text us, which means that you can talk to us without talking to us. Isn't that nice? 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. If you want to share a praise report, we happen to like those. We need to get more of those. Prayer requests. We love praying for people. Want to add that more into our show. If you have a comment, if you have something you want to share, if there's something going on, as long as you keep it classy, we're totally copacetic with it. I mean, it's all good. And then also we do this funny thing called Bible trivia. Well, Bible trivia, huh? Yes, and here's our first Bible trivia question. Who was the first person, listen to everything I say, who was the first person to enter the empty tomb of Jesus? I wonder why you said it that way. Hey, it's very simple. Any topic is open for conversation. Why is that? It's not professional radio. It's hardly radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let me start off the show just by making sure we reaffirm our DNA. And so I'm going to do that with Terrific T helping me out. First and foremost, the DNA is what a Christian's made up of. Our D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily,
not weekly, not Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, but daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
There you go. Now we have somebody calling in regards to the trivia question. So I think we'll probably get an answer. That's kind of where I'm heading. Lots to cover, lots to do. I hope you guys like that read and ramble. There's some really good points in there. I think they're really helpful in the process. We already got people responding in texting. Hi, Joy. Hi, Cordy. And I got somebody on the phone, so we're just getting it all together, having a good time. I have some things I want to share with you. I got to share with you this whole process that I've been personally going through. I want to share it with you so that you can hear another brother, another sister in the Lord go through a process that you go through on a regular basis. I thought, man, I'm just going to share what I go through and how it goes up and how it goes down and what that process is and see if you can find any identity or strength to that. We'll get to that relatively soon. Please don't forget, because it is November and it is Thanksgiving, it is the holidays and things of that nature. Please don't forget our website, because we need help as often as we can get it. Do we have somebody that wants to answer? Okay, here we go. I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie, what's going on, bro?
I'm doing good, doing good. Finna go pick my wife up.
Okay, you need to keep us posted on the job situation as we keep praying for that. And for that the Lord would just direct you in the things that you need him and want him to direct you in, okay?
Yep.
You keep us posted. All right, my friend, who was the first person to enter the empty tomb of Jesus?
Peter.
That is correct, sir! All right, now why did I put such an emphasis on the enter part? Do you know?
Certainly. John got there first because he outran Peter. But he didn't go in. He looked in and saw that the, you know what I'm trying to say, the claws.
Everything was there, but he didn't walk in. He kind of peeked in, right? He looked in, maybe ducked his head. I mean, that's what we think. And then he ducked his head and he went in there. Now, here's the amazing thing. It's not a direct insult to Peter, but it's not complimentary that John outran him. It's not a direct... But John was faster.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, nope. And what's funny is that even if you're faster, sometimes you don't have that little bit of extra courage to go in, because it was afterwards you went in. So that's a kind of an interesting element.
Yeah.
Excellent job, Ronnie. Excellent.
Well, thank you.
All right. God bless you, brother.
You too. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love Ronnie. Love Ronnie. Okay, good job on the people that texted in as well. Let me just start off with Isaiah 41, verse 10, because we love the word of God. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There are six things that take place here. There's two I ams, there's two do nots, and there's two I wills. Okay? Just for those that want to break it down. The first thing is do not fear. Why? Why do you not fear? Why? What's wrong with being afraid? I'll tell you what's wrong. Something the Lord showed me just before this show started in March of 2019. He showed me in January, then again in February, then again in March of 2019. Told me the same thing, and I'm sharing it with you right now. Do not let fear rob you of the joy that faith can bring you. Listen to what I just said. If you want to write it down, you can. It's not scripture. Don't do that to me. But I'm telling you that this has served me well since I have processed this. Do not let fear rob you of the joy that faith can bring you. Put that down somewhere, maybe in a little note, maybe in a sticky note, and just every once in a while look and glance and keep aware of that. Philippians 1:25 might be a reference point. Here's the bottom line. Don't be afraid, because fear will rob you of joy. Fear will rob you of joy that faith can actually bring you. Whether you are a young Christian or a seasoned Christian would not even matter. And then the Lord says, do not be afraid. I am with you. And the whole premise there is, if God is with you, then who can be against you? And who cares? Because God is on your side. It's like, okie dokie, me and God. That makes a majority. Do not fear. I am with you. Look at this. This is the part that I wanted to get to. Do not anxiously look about you. What that means, you want to translate that into a more proper way to say it, do not see things with anxiety. You know those Jesus glasses you hear every once in a while? Somebody like me or, you know, some of the nuttier preachers will talk about, put on your Jesus glasses, right? Because every once in a while, you have to look at things through the prism of Jesus Christ, right? Well, unfortunately, in our society, people put on anxiety glasses. They're glasses that are like gloom and doom, and they have little clouds over them, and it has little sound effects like thunder and lightning, and you put them on your eyes, and it goes... And you're like, oh, no, don't put those glasses on. Break those glasses. Those are terrible glasses. They cost too much, and they weigh too much, and they make your face look funny. Don't wear those. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. And the Lord is telling you, I'm with you. I'm your guy. I'll cover it. And you think, well, you can't just say I'm your guy. It's like, come on. What do you think God's trying to do here? He's trying to encourage you. The rest of the verse, I will strengthen you. Do you ever feel like you need to be strengthened? I do. I'm driving down the road. I look at my tires. Do you ever notice on your tires, some tire might be lower than the other? Needs a little air, right? Sometimes you need a little air from the Lord. And then he says, I will help you. If you're looking to all of the world's provisions to help you, you are hurting yourself. If you're looking for the world to be your answer, if you're looking for the logic and the process, let me just say this so I can get it on the record so there's no question. If you're looking for socialism or capitalism or any ism to be your Jesus-ism, you're not that bright. Because the answer is in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. and everything else will be covered. It's like, well, but, there's no but, that's it. We're done. Thank you. Isaiah 41:10. Just mix it all together. It's baked in love. Great verse, and you should have it marked off somewhere in your Bible, or at least on a sticky note. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I just really like that interview with Peter. I'm sorry. It's funny, okay? It is. Let's be aware that this trivia question that we're going to bring up before you right now, this is sponsored by Texas Air King, and I just want to let you know, so I mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. So they have a deal where if you end up getting a service with them, like a new system, I mean, that they do it. It's not credit. It's kind of like installment, and you just pay it until it's paid off, no interest, no anything. It's about $80 per month, and the coach will absolutely take care of people. He made that promise to me that he would take care of everybody, and that's important to me that it's done that way. So I'm just telling you, if you're like, man, I think I do need a new air conditioner, I do need a new heater, I do need a new system, at least call him and talk to him and get the idea, see what's there. But I'm telling you right now, you have a great opportunity to do that. Let's play our Texas Air King clip.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at texasairking.com.
Okay. All right, here we go. Ready? All right. Alert. Alert. I am warning you about this trivia question. I can't do that any clearer. I don't know how to communicate any clearer. Did you hear what I said? Alert. Alert. All right, here's the trivia question. What was the name of the type of leaf that Adam and Eve wore before the fall? What was the name of the type of leaf that Adam and Eve wore before the fall? I'm going to leave that right there and also encourage you to check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. So we got that going on. We have somebody calling in for the trivia, and I think they're calling in for the trivia anyway, and I'll find out in about the next millisecond. That was like a millisecond right there. That's how long it is if you want to know. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. Alton here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay.
Doing just fine.
This is a classic question. You know that, right? I set it up that way, so I'm looking for you to know it. Here we go. What was the name of the type of leaf that Adam and Eve wore before the fall?
Hope I don't disappoint. Was it a fig leaf?
You would be right, except that would be...
Man.
After the fall. Before the fall, they were naked. They didn't have any kind of leaf. I knew you were going to get it. I knew it was going to be close. That's why I gave an alert, because it's like, oh, this is going to be a tricky one.
Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, after the fall, God killed the lamb to make a sacrifice and covered them with sheepskin.
Yeah, because they sewed those fig leaves together. And isn't that funny? I've had a couple people tell me throughout my walk, hey, that's the tree that Jesus cursed, the fig tree, the one that man tried to use to cover himself and provide for himself. I was like, ooh, that's good. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good one, though. It's like, yeah. I wouldn't die for it, but I think it's pretty interesting, right? But yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Before the fall, there was no clothes. But that was great job, and you did great. Fantastic. Excellent job,
all
my
right,
friend.
Man.
All right. God bless.
Have a great day today.
Thanks so much.
God bless y'all.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Ah, that's a good one, huh? That's a good, come on. That's a good one. All right, here you go. You don't hear me take, I'm not really a take a stand guy, especially when it comes into that kind of politics. Stuff like that. I just think, like, look, you know, it's great. It's fantastic. 30 years from now, nobody's going to care. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, you better hope there's an America. You don't even have any idea. Who knows? You don't know. In fact, 100 years from now, the Lord might come back and y'all be like going, who, where, what, when? I mean, that's what you'll do with all of them. Here we go. Here, though, is something that I want to distinguish. So you'll hear me say that, and I'm not into as the men's kingdom, as you know, the same way. It's not that I don't think people should participate or anything like that. I don't think any of that. I just don't think those are the hills to die on. The hill to die on is the one at Calvary. Because that's Jesus' hill. And so I was like, okay. All right, so here I want you to catch this in Esther 3, 1 through 2. After these events, now I'm going to mispronounce these names, so I don't want to hear about it. You don't have to email me or text me. After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman. That's how you're supposed to say it, Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage or homage. Haman. He was commanded to be respected by who? By the king. Okay? So what people will do is they will abuse scripture and go, well, Romans 13 says you got to surrender to all the authorities. And that's what they'll try to use to justify, which is the very same thing that they try to justify in all of the decisions that people make when they're political or when they're not political. And here's the irony behind that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king straight out, yeah, no, we don't really care what you think. And so here's the problem with trying to do stuff like that. The kingdom of God is where you take your stand. The kingdom of God is where there's no surrender. There's no compromise. Okay? And Mordecai would not bow down to Haman because he was wrong and it was wrong. And so when they sit there, they say, well, you have to do exactly what the government tells you. That's up to the point where it may breach or does breach the commandments of God. So it's not your job to support something that's contrary to Scripture. Now, by not yielding, that does not mean that you start some kind of militia group. How dumb is that? Could you just see anybody in the first century thinking that's a wise idea? It's the dumbest idea ever. But what it does mean is that Christians have this weaponry with them. They have the truth and they have the power of prayer. And one of the things that just drives me batty is how the Christians and even, you know, semi-Christians are like, well, this is this. This should be this. This should be this. Hey, you know what we should be doing? We should be doing what Jesus said. Our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should be praying that God establishes his influence and his power over all the leaders that we engage with so that the will of God could be done. Before everybody dies on your political hill to figure out it should be left or it should be right, let me just simply say it should be God's plan that's accomplished and the people of God supporting that plan by praying that it manifests. Who knows how God will move upon a leader and change the world? Nobody in the world would have thought Cyprus would have said, let's send all the Jewish people back so they can rebuild the tent. Nobody was thinking that. Nobody in the world thought that except for God. Like, God's going, watch this. I'm going to just blow everybody out right here. And it's like, you think, wait a minute. Let's follow the Lord. I don't know why. That's not even that hard. So there's no surrender, no compromise when it comes to the kingdom of God. And don't you ever, I mean, what an insult to Jesus to conflate man's philosophy with the kingdom of Christ. This is a kingdom for souls. People are going to spend eternity in hell, not because of their political positions, but because they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, that is the hill that you fall on. That is the hill that you die on. And so in our position, you know, like when you pay your, it's not that you don't pay your taxes, but we pray over our money. Don't let any of this money be used for abortions. That's how we do it. We can't change Caesar to do what Caesar's going to do. I can pray about it. I can say, Lord, sanctify this money. Let every penny I give be sanctified by you in the name. Why can't I do that? I thought prayer worked. Doesn't it? You see what happens? See what happens? People get all caught up in these things. You want to get caught up in something. I want to know where all the specials are, even if they're to go at food restaurants where we used to get 2-for-1s. Where did that go? That's a hill to die on. It's like, where did all those specials go? I think they should be back. Anyway, if you get my drift, so you're going to hear me talk a message called Left or Right. It's going to come next week or the week after, and you're going to find out, you know, are you for us or are you for the enemy? Neither. I'm for God. Okay. And don't tell me that one kingdom is the same as the other. I'll throw something at you. Don't do that. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770. Are we over for the break? No? I missed my break? No? Is this break time? You still got 2 minutes? We'll break now. We'll come back early. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting 7 churches throughout the United States and having 3 separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says 2 things. 1, Jesus was wrong about marriage. 2, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who was that madman? I just want to pray real quickly. T has a good friend named Nick, and his father passed away, and I just want to pray for him and his family just real quickly. So that's how we're going to open this up. So just bear with us here. Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we just ask for your comfort to be with Nick and his family in a very trying and difficult time. We lift them up. You, God, are a God of comfort. And we ask you to bring that comfort into their lives and fill their hearts full of a sense of peace. It's a difficult time. It's hard. And you feel their pain. But, Lord, you can also bring them up from the depth of that pain and speak life into them. And that's exactly what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so that's for Nick and his family. Hope they're doing well. We'll keep them in prayer. Let's get ready for the next trivia question. I am warning you again. Is that pretty straightforward, right? Okay, all right. I can't believe I missed my mark. I was really, you know what it is? I got to tell you what it is. It was, you know, I get into that, and I've had 1,000 debates with people about some of the stuff that we discuss, and I get that people have passion. Okay, when I was a Red Wing fan extraordinaire while Gordie Howe was alive, everything was Red Wing this, and if you didn't like the Red Wings, you were like the enemy and da da da. So when I met somebody who was from Colorado because of the Avalanche, the Red Wings and the Avalanche didn't like it, and it's like you just get so and the Lord has really shown me over a 40-plus-year period of walking, those are fun things or interesting things, but not the things to die for. And you think, oh no, that is exceedingly important because no, it's not. In 100 years from now, will it matter for you? No. So, and neither will that car payment, just in case you want to know. So that kind of works together, doesn't it? Okay, name. I'm going to give you a big opportunity here. Name the first five people mentioned in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking God. I'm not talking snake. I'm talking people, okay? So human beings. Name the first five. There's one little caveat in that. There's one small, teeny, teeny caveat, okay? I was writing, go stars, go Dallas Stars. Yeah, I'm going to have to get into the Stars. I'm really mad at the Red Wings, by the way, so just so you can know. All right, so anyway, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Ace, brother.
Hi, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been listening in. I'm just been between Ronnie, Al, and the rest of them. It's hard to get in anymore nowadays. But they're doing a good job answering questions, so that's good.
They have. And I've missed you, though. It's always good to hear your voice, and I pray for you every day. And I'm just praying that the Lord bless you. I mean, you're a big part of how the show got really rolling, so I love it.
Sure, I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah,
sure do.
All right, now this is an interesting question because amazingly, one of the answer in the trivia book is wrong. So, but I'm going to give room for it. So, give me what you got on the first five people mentioned in the Bible.
Well, would it be Adam? I see Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and Seth.
Now, before Seth, yeah, that's all right. Was Cain? Cain had a child before Seth. Do you remember what the child is? Mm-hmm. This is very, very close. It's remember the guy that hung out and then he wasn't, and then he took off and then he was gone. In Genesis 4:17, it makes mention of Cain having a child named Enoch, and was the fifth child. But wait. But even that is wrong. But let me explain why. Because I'm looking at this, and I'm reading it, and I'm thinking the author of this book, who's a genius, by the way, forgot that Cain, it mentioned Cain got married, and his wife had the baby. So technically, Cain's wife is the fifth person because that comes before Enoch. Isn't that good?
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought about it that way. That's very good that you you go through the crevices and go out of the box to find the answers.
Yeah, it's like wait a sec. I thought about, doesn't that guy have a wife? I know she doesn't got a name, but she's still mentioned. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, amen, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, truth is truth. We can't deny the truth.
Exactly, amen. Exactly. Now, they don't list her name, so you can call her whatever you want to, but we don't know. Yeah. Cain, her
my
name was Cain's Cain. Wife.
My
that was her name.
My wife.
All right, my brother. Excellent job. Thank you. I love you in the Lord, brother.
Yeah, I love you, buddy. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
It.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We just had so much fun. All right. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. Have we covered everything? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. All right, got that. Oh, we didn't do history. You know what? This is why. Is he going to give you a raise if we do this 90-minute thing? He better. That's all I can say.
I just hope.
Yeah, we're going to pray for that. All right, let's do a quick history, and then we'll do the rest of the thing.
Okay. Let's go live.
I don't think anybody else in the world could get away with a Jethro Tull song on the. That doesn't matter. All right, today is Celebrate Your Unique Talent Day. I don't know what that means because.
I don't either. What's
I'm not
a
even
talent?
Sure. I don't know. I don't even know. This one I thought was good. National Jukebox Day. Okay, I can buy into that. Okay. I mean, I like that. That's cool. Here's the one that I have a hard time with. I think T is going to agree with me. She hasn't heard this yet. I haven't brought this up yet. I just think she's going to agree with me. I'm not a big fan of this. It's National Sardines Day.
Ew.
Ugh. I can't stand sardines on a pizza. People are like, oh, no, they're it's like, no, they're not.
I can't just imagine eating something that has a fish head still attached to it.
You know, it reminds me of those little things that you put in the packet in the water and then they come alive from the comic books. It's like, that is just wrong. I don't care what you say. 1960 on this day, Wilt Chamberlain pulled down 55 rebounds. Yeah, it's not going to ever be broken, right? 50. Now, that, you know how long ago that was? 60 years ago. 60 years ago. It's like, wow. And then the other thing I thought was quite fascinating, D.B. Cooper hijacking. Do you ever hear about D.B. Cooper? So this is something that T does know. A lot of you guys know this, though. Unidentified bandit hijacked a 727 plane, claiming to have a bomb on him, took 200,000 ransom, 4 parachutes, jumped out. A reporter actually called him D.B. Cooper, even though his name was actually Dan Cooper, and they never recovered the money except – So that happened in 71. In 1980, an 8-year-old boy found 3 packets of some of the money in the Columbia River in Vancouver, Washington. But it was never solved, and everybody wondered what happened. It's one of those like mysteries, like whatever happened to that thing? Whatever happened? Nobody knows. Okay. I mean, I think they did a movie on it. I can't remember. But it's one of those things that people get away with.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, if you get into it, I don't have a lot of time to dive into that, but it's, you know, I think stuff like that's fascinating. Okay. But then again, I think Greek participles can be fascinating. Not really. I hate Greek participles, just to be honest with you. You know, you got the verb, and it has to have the indicated, and it's like, uh-huh, sure. Hebrews 9:16-17, where a will exists, the death of the testator must be established. For a will is valid only when people die, since it is never enforced while the testator is living. We're not talking, of course, about a living will. We're talking about a will that's transferred. Somebody dies, and then there's a transfer of money. Have you – just in case you guys want to know, I did have a rich uncle. I had a rich dad. I had a rich uncle, dad, rich grandparents. I had rich – all the way down the line. And then I said yes to Jesus, and they said, you're no longer a relative. So I didn't get the rich money, you know. I got the consolation prize kind of thing. But here's the bottom line. Now, this is a true statement, although it's true in too many ways. My kids have an inheritance, okay? Now, do you think it's a lot? No, it's not a lot. In fact, there's probably more value in my books since I have like 1,500 books and anything else. So, okay. So my kids do know they have an inheritance, okay? And there is a will for people all over the place. And when people die, and unfortunately, there's going to be some kind of passing on of some of the assets, okay? But nothing takes place until there is the effectiveness of somebody passing on, okay? In our case, as Christians, somebody did pass on. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, here's the most ironic thing of all. There is no legal precedent, and if there's a lawyer listening, please correct me. I have no problem with this. If somebody dies and the effectiveness of the will goes into place, and then that person effectively resurrects forever. It's like, I mean, what happens? So for us, we have, watch this, a current inheritance. Right now, because of the death of Jesus Christ, you and I, even though you don't think of God as a rich uncle, which I understand, I appreciate, and we're not like a name it and claim it crew, and we don't think everybody, you know, if you sneeze and somebody says God bless you, you get $1,000. We don't think that way. Nobody thinks that way. That's like ridiculous. But we do have a current inheritance, and it has to do with the powers of heaven walking with us, so to speak. Whenever somebody says it's like the universe is against me, it's actually the exact opposite for Christians. The universe, quote unquote, is for you. And all of the opposition against you is being defeated on a regular basis. Now, for us, the fullness of that inheritance is going to come about in the future, in eternity, when we're dancing on streets of gold. But never think of yourself as poor in the capacity of, well, no, I don't have any rich relatives. Yes, you do. You have the most wealthy Savior ever, who's got the most wonderful things to give you now and even more so in the future. And get a little tired. You get a little tired of people thinking of God being like the Grinch. God is not the Grinch. He's not a genie. He's not Santa Claus, and he's not the Grinch. He's a loving, caring, provisionary father who will take care of the things that you need, and you can count on him because his whole relationship to you is based on your best interests, not his. And that's very different than the human prospects of parenting, isn't it? You have an inheritance. You're very wealthy, and one day you're going to see it all right before you. It's fantastic. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. All of mankind, destroying everyone
and everything we find. He's the heart. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me say something really important. I want to give a big crying send-off to my good friend for 7.5 years, Lefty. Lefty has today, I know, I'm so sad. Lefty has actually left the place of honor that's been with me for the last 7.5 years doing radio. Lefty was my one-eared headset, my headset that I would listen to yesterday towards the end of the show. the circuitry in the very complex $19.95 multiple years ago headset decided it could no longer endure, and we had to put it to rest today. So now I have a much more expensive but really on sale from Amazon, so got it for a smoking deal headset. But it has two ears, so one of the ears is behind my head. And I haven't given this one a name yet. It's got like one ear, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. But then we're going to say goodbye to Lefty. Bye, Lefty. Bye. All right. There you go.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things to tell you. I was going to go a particular direction on this last segment, and it just got changed up, so I'm changing it up. Trying to follow the best I can, just like everybody else. Trying to follow the Lord as best as you can understand. Here you go. Here's our next trivia question. Quite an interesting question. Want you to think about it. Want you to think about it. When David was a boy, he killed two fierce animals. I think most of you people know that. What order, what were the animals, and what order did he kill them in? Okay, this is when he was talking to Saul, and so I can give you that hint. What were the animals, and what order? Okay, we're not advocating killing of animals. Okay, so let's everybody just bring it down a notch. Bring it down. Bring it down. Okay, I'm just asking, what order did he do it in? Okay, I got my wire caught in my Bible. I don't know how you can do that. I'm amazing. Okay, what do you got? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, hi, this is Deborah. How are you?
Great, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's great to hear your voice. Love it. Awesome. Okay, this is an interesting question. I want to know the two animals and the order that David did them in. Do you know that answer?
Oh, I'm probably wrong, but I think it was the bear and the lion.
Right. Now give me the order. The bear and the lion are correct, so you are right there. Ding, ding, ding. We're good on that, okay? But don't use logic. Use what you remember as best as your memory tells you. What order?
The lion and the bear.
Correct. I wanted to make sure you guys... See, because logically, you would think the bear would come first... And then the lion. I mean, that's what I would think, because you would think, oh, the lion's the king of the beasts and da-da-da-da-da. But in this case, when he was telling King Saul, he said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. He went to the lion first. Sometimes you put your best foot forward. it might have been that it did. Excellent job, though. So it was good. You got it right on track. Got both parts of the question. So I really appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so many people are aware, you know, we've got some decisions to make, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but I wanted to share this story. Isn't this the weirdest thing? I'm going to share a story that happened to me, real-life story. I don't want you to ever equate anything that happens to me at the same level of Scripture as you should not equate it with yourself, and that's it. I mean, Scripture is, by and large, one of the greatest miracles of all, taking 40 authors over a 15 to 100-year period, and all of them having this same thread, the same vein. It's so amazing, and all these different lives. And bibliology is a fascinating thing. And never forget that the Scripture is your plumb line. That's your authority, okay? Even if you are regularly led by the Holy Spirit, and many people are led by the Spirit, and the Scriptures command us to be so, I would put my money always on the book, because I have greater confidence that God can write a book than I can follow His Spirit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not negating it. I'm just putting a greater level of confidence in in that. Okay? So I want people to understand. All right? Now, but that doesn't mean that things don't happen to you. And I wanted to share with you something that happened to me when I was in Prescott, Arizona, many, 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 many moons ago. So most people are aware that, you know, when you get become a Christian, you get hungrier for the Lord, and you kind of grow in the Lord, and different things happen. And at this one period in my life, I was just in this huge hunger, thirsty for God, you know, position. And, you know, most everything in the beginning of Christianity, it's a lot of fluff. I mean, it's a lot of like, you know, Jesus is like the clouds kind of thing. And as you grow in the Lord, you get to find out, yeah, there's some rain in there and there's some lightning in there and it doesn't quite go the way you think. So I told the Lord, I want more of you. I'm just going to, you know, really follow after you. And I remember I went out one night and I was praying and I wasn't that it was arrogant, but maybe a little prideful, you know, okay, maybe I was arrogant. I mean, that's what happened. And there's this mountain, this roadway up in Prescott, Arizona, and it kind of goes up towards the hills, and nobody travels on it. So I was walking up that road, and I'm like, I'm coming up to the mountain to see you, God. You know, it's like that kind of attitude, right? That's what I'm trying to convey. And everything was fine. Probably about a half hour later, as Prescott is known to do, the weather changed. And while I was – so Prescott's already at 5,200 feet elevation, 5,280. It's like the Mile High City in Denver. And then while I was walking, the clouds started to swirl, and I kept walking. And then the lightning, a couple of lightning bolts came to the side. The thunder increased, and it was just getting really, like, outrageous. And I remember walking up to the Lord, walking up, and then stopping and going, okay, I'm afraid. That's enough. And I started walking back down. And you think, well, that's just crazy. And it's like, no, I'm telling you, I was just like, you know, I'm coming up to the Lord. I'm coming up to the Lord, like, with this arrogance. And it was almost like the Lord was like, going, watch this. And I'm like, okay, I'm leaving now. And I think the idea behind that is we think that we can capture God. We think we can put our hands around God and put him in various boxes that we try to do theologically, practically, and otherwise. And one of the things that I'll tell you is going through the PhD program, which is converting into more of the Doctor of Ministry program, is how knowledgeable people are and people understand the breakdown of the words and much, much deeper than you think. You're getting into literally, specifically one nuance, one jot, one tittle, how it changes the word. And it's like, it's amazing stuff, and that's fascinating, and it's great, but we still think we have a handle on God, and we act that way when it has to do with our circumstance, and you don't, and I don't. And as much as we can understand from Scripture, as much as you can appreciate and love ministries that get a really good, specific handle on certain things, you cannot capture God and put him in your box. You can't do it theologically. You can't do it practically. You can't do it from a functionality point of view. There are things that are the Lord's and nobody else's. And we get to explore, and some of that's fun, and we get to wonder and ask and pursue, but we don't own God. And people need to be careful when they say, well, God would never do this, or God would do this, or never do this. You can use his word as your authority, but we just need to be careful. We need to be wise and have a greater sense of respect. We're talking about, on this show, adding 30 minutes a day. It seems like, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that 30 minutes a day means 2 extra hours a day of study for, or at least an hour and a half extra study for me. It also means a greater financial, it means all those things. But I can't tell God, no, I won't do it because I'm secure here, any more than you can tell him that. And so when the Lord says something to me like, you know, don't let fear rob you of the joy that faith can bring you, he's telling me he's going to cover it. Does that mean it's all going to be easy? No. You should know better than that. But if you can't step out for God, who can you step out for? I could step out for God more than I could step out for me. I'm a nut job. Come on. But God is faithful, and God is true. And so what we do in trust. And what I do on this show, I do the best I can, bringing it forward to you. And what you do in the Lord just must be the best that you can do before Him, honoring, trying to honor Him with your words and your actions. But you can't capture God and put Him in your box. The greatest example to understand that is Peter, when he put that one leg over the boat to go on the water. That just made no sense at all. Yet he did it. He's the only other person to walk on water. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do something in faith that your brain just goes, what? But the real question is, do we walk by faith or do we walk by sight? So for some of you going through really tough circumstances, don't just look at the circumstance, put God in the box, and think that He has to yield to it. He can speak and create a universe. He can speak to your situation and change it. That's what the power of prayer is all about, right? My encouragement from that story that I shared with you about, you know, running the other way from the Lord is that God cannot be captured in the human box. He's bigger. But you're welcome to open your arms as wide as you can and accept everything there is from Him. That's just wisdom. That's just wise. Okay? All right. Cool. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.